نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. ثم أما بعد، after many questions and consultation about the topic to talk or what to talk about in this halaqah and the future lectures inshallah, I have discovered that the subject of men and women is what everybody likes to talk about, and everybody feels that this subject is not really covered in full, or if it is spoken about, it is not really spoken about in the way that pleases everyone in the sense of comprehensiveness. And as we know that the religion Islam is a comprehensive religion, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not leave any aspect of this life but he spoke about, and there is no shyness in seeking knowledge. This is something that we all should know, and we will see inshallah as we will go and start to speak about those subjects, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly taught us everything that we need to know in the most clear, concise language that we can understand. Inshallah, we will be talking about qualities of men and women, manners of men and women. We'll be talking about marriage, divorce, children, hijab, rights of husbands, rights of wives, advices for husbands, advices for wives, advices for young men who are thinking about getting married, and for young ladies who are thinking about getting married. We'll be talking about questions, answers, ways to live happy, which means ways for a wife to please her husband and ways for a husband to please his wife, how men and women think, and how we should understand the ahadith and the ayat that talks about women, which is confusing in certain ways where some people may understand it in a very confusing way. We will see how the best of the generations, the companions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, understood those ahadith. We will take a complete, comprehensive look at the teachings of Islam and how we should surrender ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing and confirming the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and we don't, knowing and confirming the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the absolute just and does not oppress anyone. And after we talk about all that, we will have special series about Islam or about sex in Islam. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, the Companion, everything that relates to that topic, it will be in a lengthy series, and then we will conclude that with one night, maybe, or two nights. It's called Umsiya Ma'an Nisa. I'm not going to translate that. The last one, inshallah, it will be just a little humor, inshallah, referring to women. So that would be sealing all of that. It could be next year, it could be the following 2 years, you have no idea. Because as we get into those topics, lots of things will come, and preparation is day by day. So inshallah we'll go from there. I want you to understand one thing. Know that the woman is beautiful being a woman, and the man is handsome being a man. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and this is how He described us, and He said fi ahsani taqwim, in the best form and the best shape. So if you want to look good, you're a man, look good as a man. And if you are a woman, you want to look good as a woman, look good as a woman. This is something that is understood. Anyone who deviates away from that, it's either because they have mental problem or because they have deteriorated their original creation or because they have degraded themselves to the level of animals. No third. Because you're a man, stick to it. You're a woman, stick to it. If you don't, then one of those things, you either ignored the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, or you went crazy, you don't know the difference, or you want to be like animals. You don't want to do anything except follow your whims and desires. Another fact I want you to know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized the fact that men and women are not equal. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The female is not like the male. Because when you talk about that, we are talking about sameness. When you say musawa, that means they are the same. And they are not the same. Islam made justice between men and women. They are equally treated in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to religion with justice. If I pray, I get my reward. Whether I am a man or a woman, no difference. And so forth. So keep that in mind. Islam doesn't equate men to women. Islam is just when it comes to men and women, and they are dealt with in that way. Also, keep in mind that anywhere you equate things that are not the same, this is a form of oppression. If you equate them in absolute equation. Because there are certain things that a woman cannot do and certain things that a man cannot do, and if you make them the same, you are oppressing one of the two. And that is why in Islam it is not. We have spoken, last thing we've spoken about women, we said that when they invited us for the hur, remember? We said that they are created much prettier than us, and we did not complain. And we said that they are much compassionate and more merciful than us, and we did not complain. We said that they give birth, and we do too, in the sense of supporting them. We give birth in hardship, but not in actual birth. When they suffer, we're suffering with them. We're collaborating our efforts and our care and love with them, and we still did not complain. Now, something that would look strange, but when you talk about women during the menstrual cycle, they don't pray, right? And we did not complain either. This is surprising, because you say, why would you complain? I guarantee you that there are so many women, so many men around, they would rather have the period than pray. And they envy women for that. Look at you, you don't have to pray. I have to pray all the time. You don't have to pray. So there are some men who see that advantage, the menstrual cycle is an advantage for women because they don't pray. Of course, if that tells you something about the man, it tells you how strong his faith is, right? How much he loves the prayer. It tells you that when you... it's very common. I mean, some people don't literally say it, but it's there. Because the behavior of most people tells us that. You see people, as soon as the prayer, the time comes, everyone is nervous, want to start it. You think he's nervous because he loves the prayer? No, he just want to finish it. Because the proof to that is when the imam takes a longer time and recitation, they will get angry. Because many things happen that doesn't support that they are in love with the prayer. So anyway, all of those things women have, and we did not complain about that. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preferred women 3 times, the mother over the father. We did not complain. What are we talking about now? Let's not complain about that either. ما فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى به النساء. You know, I promised before that I wanted to say something about women that normally I don't think anybody addressed that. And in my search, I found a woman writing about that topic. It is so good that nobody really paid attention to it, which is, what are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred women in over men? We always talk about men and women. Men have this, men have this, women don't have that. Well, let's see what women have and we don't have in a comprehensive, more comprehensive look. This is derived from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that there are things for men and there are things for men. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا. Men have a portion of what they have earned and women have a portion of what they earned. Let's see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say. Before that, what we so often forget is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored women by giving her value in relation to her creator. The value of a woman in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where she has the value. Not in relation to man. See, many people think that every time when you want to talk about values of women, they compare immediately men and women. The value of the woman in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, her creation, that's where her value resides. In what He gave her, in what He commanded her, in what He preferred her with, not in what He did to man. So when a woman wants to compare, this is wrong comparison. Look what Allah gave you and don't look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the man. And that is something many people stay away from and don't think of. But because of the world feminism, they erased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the picture, from the whole scene. There is no standard left for women to compare themselves to except man. Because secularism, isolation of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the worldly things, people don't join the two. So what do women have to do? They have to resort to looking at men instead of looking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very clear, because you will see what we are meaning in that. As a result, the world feminist is forced to find her value in relation to the man. Therefore, she has accepted faulty assumption. Assumption is men and women have to be equal. This is a very wrong assumption. They accepted that. And as I told you before, you probably heard the funny joke, but no harm in repeating it. The media and the people are pressing so hard on women and inequality to the point that they really convinced women that they are less than men and they should compete with men. They hear it over and over and over. You're oppressed, you're oppressed, you're oppressed, you're oppressed, you're oppressed. I guess I am oppressed. This is how it is. Cheerios, 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 Cheerios. Yeah, let's have a breakfast Cheerios. I mean, this is how they do it. This is how they attract children with the commercials. And you hear the same thing about women. They are backward, they are oppressed. A man walks in the front of his wife. It doesn't matter where the man walks. In the front or behind or on the side. What has this got to do with anything? But they are convinced. Remember that dog that the man bought, a satellite dish, the old-fashioned one, and he kept telling his children, there is a vicious dog on the roof. Vicious dog on the roof every day. Why is he doing that? Because he doesn't want anyone to mess up his system. He doesn't want anyone to play with it. He loved it. He saved the money and everything. So he scared his children with that imaginary dog, to the point that they believed him, that there is a dog there. But still, they wanted to see it. So one of them climbed and the other one waited. He opened the door, and as soon as he opened the door, he ran so quickly back. The one downstairs, he said, "Did you see it? Did you see it?" He said, "No, but I saw the big dish that he eats from." So if you think it, the idea got in their mind to the point that there is a dog. Women the same way. They believe that they are oppressed, and they believe that this religion prefers men over them. So they isolated themselves from the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and took men as their opponent and the one that they have to compare themselves to. Now, the woman becomes like a man because the man is her standard. If the man cuts his hair short, a woman wants to cut it short. If the man wears shorts, the woman wants to wear shorts. If the man joined the army, the woman wants to join the army. And if the man shows his body, the woman wants to show her body. Now halal, we know that the body of man is not like, the awrah is not the same. And if a man leads the prayer, guess what? She wants to lead the prayer too. And we have a precedence in that. So she wants all the things that men do because the man is her standard. What she didn't recognize was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dignified both men and women in their distinctiveness. This is why you're dignified, because the way Allah created you, not because you want to be something else. You want to be something else, you're not dignified. You have stepped out of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for. And definitely this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dignifies you for the distinctiveness, not for your sameness. You're not honored because you are like a woman, or a woman is like a man, and that's why you're looked upon, you're good. No, you are dignified as a mother because you're a mother, because you're not a father. You see? And this is something that people don't pay attention to that. And we know the story of Amina Wadud in New York, where she did the prayer and made a Jum'ah khutbah, and women in short praying, MashaAllah, brotherhood and sisterhood and camphood and everything, and mixed hood next to each other. And this is what women really, or deviant women, looking for. And I say deviant because this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a woman to be. Putting yourself in a place where you don't belong, I don't call that an honor. As a Muslim woman, why should this matter to her who leads the prayer? Do you think if I lead the prayer, I am better than you? Well, maybe I'm better than you because I memorize more Quran than you. But what makes you think that I am not a show-off? You don't know. A person behind the imam could go to Jannah, and the imam himself could go to hellfire. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bases things according your faith. So a woman wants to be in the front. What for? Because she feels that the man is better than her? This is wrong assumption. Only Allah knows who's better than who. And that is something that also they fail to understand. A woman will never reach true liberation until she stops trying to mimic men and value the beauty of our own God-given distinctiveness. Once they do that, they will be honored as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. One woman mentions, and she said those actually, she said, given my privilege as a woman, I only degrade myself by trying to be something I am not. In all honesty, I don't want to be a man. And because, she said, as a woman, we will never reach true liberation until we stop trying to mimic men. And she added finally, if a given choice between justice and compassion, I choose compassion. And in a given choice between worldly leadership or heaven under my feet, I'll take heaven under my feet. A woman wants to be a man, and the Prophet ﷺ is saying, there is heaven. If you want to go to heaven, addressing us men, It lies there next to her feet. Stick to it. You will go to heaven. Follow it. You will go to heaven. And this heavenly woman wants to come out and be a man. Subhanallah. This is something weird. Talking about this subject, when you talk about men and women and equality and all that, it becomes boring because it is so much addressed and everywhere you go people talk about it. But I think this is a different perspective when you talk about things that women have better than men, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred them over men. It will be inshallah catchy for you. A question I would like to ask: why did we accept the issue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferring men over women without a question? And we started to defend it, and we start to show every kind of excuse to prove it is not, without asking one question, at least out of a mental practice, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred women over men with. We never really thought about that. We always think of one side and not look on the other side. And let us look at some of those wonderful things that I have collected here, that women are preferred over men. And number one, when you talk about inheritance. Now look at this. The brother takes double his sister in normal occasions in inheritance. But the wife gets what? When she gets married, she pays the dowry or she receives the money? She receives the money. Some of the men here are very generous, especially when they are a good adhering Muslim. They give $1. Follow the sunnah. They love their sunnah. But others, they give 5, 10, 20,000 or so. Who gets that? The woman. What does a man own from that? Nothing. Who's benefiting from that? The woman. Does the man benefit from that? No. Does the woman get what the man gets when they get married? Yes. Why the man pay? You tell me. It's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we kiss it and we accept it and we don't complain. Now, spending on the woman. When a man marries a woman, who spends on who? The man. How long? Forever. That's why one son told his father, he said, "Father, how long it cost to get married? Or how much did it cost you, rather, to get married?" He said, "Well, son, I really don't know. I'm still paying." You never know. Look at the woman. She has a special portion in enjoying this life, this world, in things here, and we're not. They can wear gold if they want. We can't. They can wear silk. We cannot. And she still can enjoy it in the hereafter. We can only enjoy it in the hereafter, but we cannot enjoy it here. Some of you may say, "Well, I don't like gold that much." A lot of people like it. A lot of people wear it. And they know it's a piece of hellfire, and they still do it. So how come we don't complain about that? This is a special thing for them. Now, distinctiveness between men and women, this is a legislation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No creation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but has special things different than the other. When you talk about inheritance, we said that the man takes double the woman. And this is like you go, it doesn't make sense. Well, it makes sense. If the woman doesn't spend on herself,
even herself.
She doesn't spend on her husband. She doesn't spend on her children. She doesn't pay rent. She doesn't. And the man does all of those things. She's going to be equal with him to the inheritance. Take the cash and put it in her pocket. And the man taking that cash and spending it on her and her children, all that. If that doesn't make sense to you, then definitely the mind is very crooked. Tired. But let's look at other aspects where the woman gets more money than men. In Islam. Yes, in Islam. We're not going anywhere. We're still in the Quran, the Sunnah. Look at this. Number one. The mother and the father, if the person who is deceased has male children, the father and the mother are equal. They get the same amount. Also, brothers and sisters from a mother. Okay? From a mother, not from a mother and father. They get the same money equally from inheritance. Also, the woman takes more than the male if she is related to the deceased person. After she is taken hers, whatever left, you will give it to others. For instance, a man died and he has one daughter and five brothers. How you divide the money? The daughter gets half, and what's left divided equally between the five brothers. So this daughter took five times the male. Anyone heard any complaints? So let's put it. Have you ever heard of this one too?
No.
But now you know it. You complain? No, alhamdulillah, we take it. Also, there are certain situations where the woman inherits and the male does not inherit. And there are certain situations in inheritance where women block men from inheritance. Which means if the woman is not there, the man would inherit. But she's there, tough luck. He gets nothing. He wishes that she dies, right? No. In certain situations, the testimony of a woman is not accepted, and that's what most people say. Two men for one. Okay, true. But let's go at nursing, and let's go at kinship and such. The problems that is concerned with women, only the woman's testimony is accepted. Men is not accepted. When you come to nursing, like a man, one of the companions married a woman. And then a woman came to him and told him, I nursed you and I nursed her. Which means he cannot marry her. She is his sister. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ to complain to him or to ask. And he's like, he wanted to know, what should I do? He told him ﷺ, she told you. It's over. She said, I nursed you and I nursed her. Without even checking her truthfulness. Accepted it and separated them. No more marriage. Who did that? A woman. And why did she do that? Because this is a special quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her and did not give to men. Kadhalik, a woman is the only one who wears the hijab. Is that a plus or negative? In my opinion, it's a plus. Because that is extra reward for the woman that we don't get. A woman, when she wears the hijab, she's taking the reward all the time. And we don't wear the hijab, so we are not getting that extra reward that she is getting. Like certain things we get, hasanat, and they may not get, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. Also, the woman is not sinning when she leaves the salah during the menses. You try to leave the salah and see what happens to you. Especially if you die. You die a disbeliever. If a woman dies during the menses, no problem. She's still a believer. She's a woman. So, Don't look at the negative aspect of it. Look at the positive aspect of it. Some scholars said she gets a full reward without even doing the prayer. So, same thing with fasting. She doesn't have to fast if she is nursing. And if she happens to be nursing next year, then she may give money instead of fasting, where a man cannot do that. If a man is nursing, can he pay money for that? With a milk bottle, brothers. Many of us do that. But look at this one. If a woman behaves in an attractive way, trying to please her husband, trying to tease her husband, trying to attract his attention, hasanat all the way. This one definitely we're not going to complain about. So what would you say? I mean, like some people ask, do women wear the hijab at home too? Non-Muslims, you know, because they see them. All the things that you see out in the market, as adhering Muslims, the special beauty for women, we as husbands should spend a big portion of our spending on our wives so they can dress up for us. All of that stuff that you see in the market should be at our homes, in my opinion, before anybody else's. Because we are the one, as my brother said one time to my uncle, give him some good perfume, he only looks ahead of him. He doesn't turn back. As you know that your wife is your wife. You've got to lower your gaze. You cannot go around and roam around and look at this and look at that. This is haram. It's not accepted at all. So you want the person who's with you to look good all the time. And you are the one who has the cash. And you are the one to spend. And you are the one who demand the looks. You are the one who complain if the woman doesn't look good. So why don't you spend some money, go out and buy for your wife, and if she doesn't know about that stuff, you teach her. Ever heard of Victoria's Secret? Never been there, by the way. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, you're taking this from hadith. It's not something that we're bringing from nowhere. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam describing women, the best of the woman, من إذا نظرت إليها أو من إذا نظر إليها سرت. When you look at your wife and if she pleases you by the way she looks, by the way she dresses, by the way she smells, this is the best of the woman. It's extremely rewarding for the woman to do that. And the man has a lot to do with that. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma understood this ayah when he said, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That the good, like the treatment, or the good treatment, or the good things that is due to women, due to men, also women have due rights from men upon them. He said, إِنِّي لَأَتَزَيَّنُ لِزَوْجَتِي كَمَا تَتَزَيَّنْ لِي. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is he? The cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best interpreter for the Quran, the tafsir, the one that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua for him to be endowed with deep insights about the understanding of the Quran. He said, I look good for my wife like she does look good for me. And he recited the ayah. He understood it from the ayah. Women have, you have rights upon her to look good for you, and she has rights upon you to look good for her. So this is something that they do and they get the hasanat for. Also, there are special qualities for women. A woman is a form of serenity and tranquility for the man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, He told us in the Quran that when He talks about marriage,
وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة لتسكنوا إليها. So you will dwell with her. That's one understanding. Or you will socialize with her. She provides rest for you. She provides pleasure for you. She is the source of happiness to you. And this is a special quality that the woman have, different than men. And this is not the same if you look at it in general ways. كذلك, the man cannot really live without his wife as much as she can live without him. So he is more in need for her than she is in need for him. So that is another quality. A woman helps her husband to become more righteous and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we talked about that hadith when he said, from your dunya, the two things that I like is perfume and the spouses. His wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why does he like them? There are many reasons why. To spread the religion, to do so many things we mentioned, but one of those things is they are a form of serenity and tranquility and happiness for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he can go out and deliver the message relaxed. When the husband is in need for his wife, he is not all up there. He is not comfortable. He is not at rest. And once he lives and dwells and have a relationship with his wife, then he is a lot more productive. So that is a quality women have for men, or instead or better than men. Also, when you look, women are specialized with plans. Whether those plans are good or bad, they can destroy you a lot more than you can destroy them. No one denies that. A woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Inna kaydakunna azeem. Your plans are great. Some person I heard, he said, a woman can destroy a shaitan with her plans. Now, this plan, we don't want the sisters to take it against us. You can do damages to us, but do it, inshallah, plan it in a better way than in a negative way, because women have that quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, where men cannot really deal with it as much as they can. كذلك, the woman can attract the man and deviate the man and control the man a lot more than the man can do to the woman. Your wife can destroy you with that too, if she wants. Now, is this a good quality? Yes. Everything that we talk about can be negative, can be bad, but this is a quality we don't have. Very, 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 very seldom that you can see a man really attracting a woman. In comparison, a woman, little things can, one single woman can destroy a whole city?
Nation.
Thank you. His brother knows. A man cannot do that. And then they come and say, why a man goes, he can go out without a shirt, and a woman cannot do that. Ridiculous. Also, المرأة أصبر من الرجل على الشهوات. Woman can control herself from the whims and desires, sexual attractiveness and such, a lot more than a man. But they are weak when it comes to what? Cash. But this is my it doesn't belong here. As I said, anytime you have a positive quality, you will find a negative quality for you. But these are preferred over us, and we are the one who give the cash. Understand in the context of all of our talk. Also, تتميز المرأة بعاطفة قوية. The woman has a special and a strong emotion. She's very sensitive. And this really can make her a better mother, a better guardian for the children, or يعني taking care of the children and taking care of her husband and taking care of her father and mother. If your wife is sick, honestly, how many of you really stay with her like she stays with you when you are sick? I personally think that over 90% men don't do half of what a woman does to her husband if he is sick. Same thing to the children. When your children are sick, where are you in comparison to, with the exception of this brother, of course. Everybody is looking at him. This brother cares because there are some other children somewhere else. He's taking care of one brother and his wife taking care of more, inshallah. So also the woman has a strong defense that she can destroy the man with it so easily. Guess what? Tears. Tears. A woman normally can destroy the man. I know many, 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 many men, when they see their wife cry or they see any woman cry, they can't stand it. They will give in for anything, whatever she wants. They will even, they might judge and deviate with judgment. And that's why we said, don't look at the tears when you become a judge, like for cases of divorce and all of that. But she has a very strong, I mean, look a man crying to his wife. You know what she's going to tell him? Grow up, baby. But when she cries, you don't say the same. Yo, I don't mean it. And you start all of those lies. But at the same time, men, they find tears. Men, if the woman tries to catch their emotion by tears, they cannot stand volum. Men cannot stand to oppress a woman. And when she cries, they get that feeling. That's why you see men, it happened, I just heard a story that a sheikh listened to a problem between husband and wife, and the woman started to tell her story. He hits me, he does this and he does that, and the husband is quiet. So when his turn comes, he asked him, is this true what she said? He said, yes. You hit her? Yes, I do. Did you hit her? Yes, I did. Told him, don't you know that this is haram? You can't be doing that. He opened his shirt and he said, look, she slashed him with a knife across his chest. And he said, that's when I hit her. So you find, I was looking at some statistics. I think 28% or so women abusing men here in the States. Now, how do they abuse them? A man can beat up a woman, but you know what? They would sit idle because they cannot see themselves hitting a woman back. At that moment, they wish that the woman is a man, right? This is what women want to be like. Be a man right then so I can deal with you. But when a woman is standing before you and she's slapping you and hitting you and all that, you choose to take the pain rather than hitting her because you just don't feel right doing that to a woman, even if she's wrong. Now imagine if she's crying and not hitting you. She's going to kill you with that. Even when she's hitting you, you're not doing it if you are a noble man. But these are qualities that women have and men don't have. Also, انفردت النساء بفضائل خاصة. مثلا, the woman taking care of your sister, taking care of your mother, has precedence over the males, and they are more respected in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned the hadith about the mother, أمك ثم أمك ثم أبيك. And then Aisha radiallahu anha was asked by Prophet Muhammad She said, like when I asked him, أي النساء أعظم حقا على المرأة؟ عائشة asked Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, which of the women or which of the people who have the most right, يعني from the woman? He said, her husband. Then she said, وللرجل. He said, أمه. So the biggest right upon you, two women, is your mother. So this is something given to the woman. سأل رجل من أحق الناس بصحبتي. When we said, the man came and he said, whom should I be good to? He said, your mother, your mother, your mother. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam preferred taking care of your mother over fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he returned many companions, and he even told them in one instance, why your parents crying? And he said, because I wanted to join the expedition. He told him, go back and make them happy like you made them sad. And then another companion, he said, do you have a mother? He said, yes. And he said, go strive by taking care of her. This is something that Islam gave to women. Also, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, a man came to him. He had committed huge major sins, and he wanted to repent, and he did some awful things. And he said, he was asked, what can I do in order to be forgiven? He said, do you have a mother? And he said, yes. He said, take care of her. When Ibn Abbas was asked about that radiallahu anhu, he said, I couldn't find anything that expiates the sin that he had committed better than taking care of his mother. This is a status that women have and men don't have. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a criteria how to deal with our wives, and he showed us that how you deal with them, which is kindness and compassion and such. And he gave the wife rice, which is not the same to men. And he encouraged us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to always deal with our wives with love and compassion. Even the last year, just before he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, take care of women. Not women take care of men, take care of women. So this is a quality. And we know that the mother or the woman, there is a qaida, there is a special rule in Islam, fiqh rule. It says, نَفَقَتْ كُلِّ امْرِئِ فِي مَالِهِ إِلَّا الزَّوْجَ. Every person, his spending on himself comes from his wealth, except the wife. It comes from her husband. Imagine, everyone, his expense from himself, except the wife, her husband spends on her. And also, everything a woman inherits, everything a woman works for, it's her money, not her husband. Even if he's poor and he's in need for it, she can give him a charity, but she doesn't have to. And girls have the right to be taken care of, to the point that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, you can go to Jannah if you take care of one or two. A woman, she gets the reward for everything she does to her husband at home. Don't think and don't take it as this is just a chore or an obligation upon you, or this is something makes you less. It rises you high in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that women have certain privileges where women can deal with other women, and they see the two sides. They see the side of women and they see the side of men a lot more, because a man cannot have those privileges like the woman. And what does that make a woman become? It makes her realize the difference between the two, men and women. If you deal with a woman and you deal with a man, you can see the difference between the two and you can deal with them. So this is a privilege where the woman have over the man, because the man is not permitted to do that. But today, brothers and sisters, when you see that women are dressed so provocatively and fitna is everywhere, and this is the biggest thing that was left On who? On men or women? Men. Isn't that a privilege for women? Women don't care about how women dress and how beautiful they look. Men can go to hell for that. And most of them will. Because the way, this is Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling us, nothing bigger fitna that he left for us than women. Do women, are women affected with this fitna? No, they're not affected. Why? Because it doesn't concern. It's a woman looking at another woman, not like a man. So this is a final quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred women over men. So this is what I have prepared for you, and inshallah we conclude with that. If you have any question or comment, inshallah you can go ahead. Brother, you need to read from here if you can see.